Hello and welcome to Rewatchable 29 for Veronica Mars. Today we're discussing episodes 3, Chidi Chidi Bang Bang, and 4, The Green-Eyed Monster. I'm Danielle, and with me I have Karen, Gabrielle, and Ariana. Say hi, everybody.
Hello.
Hi.
How you guys doing?
Good.
Great.
Pretty good.
Saying Chidi Chidi Bang Bang sounded really fun, but
yeah.
It's kind of hard to say, actually.
Chidi Chidi Bang Bang. Yeah, it's weird. I don't know. But I like it, though. It's clever. How are you, Karen and Ariana, how are you dealing with being done with season one, and how are you liking season two so far, before we jump in?
Oh, it's really weird. I feel like this huge, momentous thing is, like, over with because, you know, season one set up, like, the whole mystery with Lily and the rape and all of that, and it's all done with, and I don't know. I mean, it's kind of difficult to move on from that because it was such a big deal, but I think so far they're setting up season two pretty well. There's quite a few mysteries going on, so I have high hopes that they're going to be able to keep up the standard of season one.
I agree. It's so bizarre. It feels like in some ways like a totally new show. Like Veronica is all of a sudden popular. That's really weird. And she's dating Duncan, which I have strong feelings about.
We can discuss it.
We can discuss it whenever it comes up or whenever you want to, because I know you guys feel strongly about it.
Yeah.
As do a lot of people. But so let's jump into episode 3 and we'll start talking, and then if the Duncan Veronica thing pops up, which it will, we can discuss from there. So here is a quick synopsis for episode 3, Chidi Chidi Bang Bang. In this episode, Veronica joins the future business leaders of America, which is, predictably, entirely comprised of upper-class white men. Dick Casablanca Sr. teaches everyone in the club the benefits of real estate investment trusts. But after Beaver employs Veronica to tail his cheating stepmom's activities, Veronica discovers that Mr. Casablancas is actually running an elaborate scam to steal from his investors. Veronica also uncovers the disgusting news that Logan is sleeping with Kendall Casablancas. And Logan and Duncan get into a steamy fight over Veronica in the school hallway while everyone swoons against their better judgment. Also, Jackie watches Pride and Prejudice with the gang, and yes, she's still a royal bitch. Oh my god. And Papa Mars and Mama Fennell went to Chicago. That's where I'm from. And that was sweet, except this creepy cop was kind of following them. Finally, Veronica gets called to Deputy Sachs Police Station because the dead guy who washed up on the beach had her name written on his hand. Also, they found an earring that looks suspiciously like Weevil's. No big deal. So, Chidi Chidi Bang Bang.
I think I jumped the gun, though, because they don't know that it's Weevil's yet, right? That's the next episode.
That is next episode.
Yeah.
That's okay, though.
They all blend together.
Yeah.
So.
So let's jump into the Casablancas real estate thing first, sort of, or let's deal with the Casablancas in general. We get to see a lot more of Beaver this episode, more than just him kind of tagging along behind Logan and Dick. So what did we think of him and kind of how he acts or how he relates to other characters?
It's
like
Cassidy,
so
guys. His name is
Sorry.
Cassidy.
Oh, come on. He's such a beaver. He's so cute, but I can't decide if he's, like, smart or stupid. Like, if his cuteness comes from being smart or stupid.
I think that he's smart. I think for whatever reason, his dad only really wanted one son, and that perfect son is Dick. And I heard that. Oh my gosh, on the Mars Investigation site, apparently they call them Big Dick and Little Dick, and I will never get over that. Not ever.
Mitch put that, or he was talking about that in the last episode. I think he wrote down, like, the quote was from Big Dick or something, or maybe it was Caitlin, I don't remember, but I laughed so hard because I didn't realize that.
Yeah, but I feel really bad for Cassidy because, like, I don't know, I have a feeling that he's either sort of going to like, get revenge on his father, maybe even his brother, in a good way and sort of, like, show them up, or, like, something bad is actually going to happen, because they've shown multiple times how much his father really doesn't care about him. And it's so sad, because obviously he's way better than Little Dick.
Yeah, I don't really understand why his father doesn't care for him. This isn't like a Game of Thrones thing where one of the children comes out, like, super deformed or anything. Like, he's perfectly... Not that that's a reason to be mean to your son, but, like, if you're a psychopath, that is. But, like, Beaver Cassidy, it's like, he's perfectly fine. Just as much as Dick. Definitely just as much as Dick.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think we know enough about Cassidy's personality yet to really make a judgment if he's smart or stupid, because we've just seen him with Dick, and Dick is not the sharpest tool in the box. But I think it's interesting to see how Veronica interacts with him in further episodes, if she thinks he's a worthy challenger, a worthy person to talk to or not.
My only guess as to why his father might favor Dick over him is because I feel like Dick acts in more of a stereotypical 09er way, almost. Like, he seems to enjoy the lavish lifestyle, whereas Cassidy just kind of lives through it and doesn't really make a show about it. So that could be another reason why.
So, I'm not sure. In other words, Cassidy's a good person, and therefore his dad doesn't like him.
Could be, yes. It wouldn't
he
be
also,
the first
He was
time.
The only one of them, of the guys, who wasn't, like, ogling his stepmom. Did she know?
Ugh.
It's gross.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Whatever. God, no. Let's talk about her really quickly. What do you think kind of motivates her? Do you like her as a character? Is she interesting at all?
No. She's gross.
She's pretty disgusting. But in a weird way, like, I'm happier that Logan is with her than with someone he would actually be happy with. Because...
True. No, I totally get that, actually.
He's just, like, sowing his oats. Is that how it goes? Is that the phrase?
I think
it's not like he's falling in love with someone real. That would make me sad.
I also like how, like, I don't know, I feel like she just serves as a plot point for him, just to be that person that Logan's hooking up with to get over Veronica. Because in this episode, we see a whole confrontation between Veronica and Logan over Kendall. So, I don't know. I think she's more to advance his storyline than her own.
Yeah, which is kind of sad. Like, not that I like Kendall at all, because, I mean, I really don't. We don't see enough of that side of her for me to like her. But I think it's kind of sad that she's just a plot point. It just sounds
She's a
sad.
Great actress, though. She's much mm-hmm. better than Allison Hannigan was as Trina.
Aw. True. Let me see. And did everybody, I know when I first watched this episode, I was a little confused about how the business thing went down. But is everybody kind of clear on sort of what happened? I just wanted to make sure that.
I think so. Basically, what happened was that Big Dick was making... was making, like, his properties out to look better than they actually were, and then that was raising the value, and I'm assuming he got, like, extra money from that or something?
I think so, yeah. That sounds about right.
And she knew about it, right? His wife?
Yes. Yeah, she's in on it, probably because she wants the money, and so she'll do anything to help, like, continue her lifestyle, I'm assuming.
And so they didn't, I was a little bit unclear, so he sure. was he arrested or did he make it away in this episode? Did he get away?
I believe we're meant to believe that he got away.
Because he was on the...
I don't...
Right? But they didn't say what happened to her, and they haven't shown Dick and Cassidy since then, right? I don't think they showed them in the fourth episode. So, okay. So that's all up in the air still. Okay.
Yeah, I don't think it's really a spoiler to say that he got away. I believe he got away, right, Gabrielle?
He did, and it's not a spoiler. And also, Dick and Cassidy weren't in the next episode, so maybe they're dealing with the fallout with their dad skipping town or the country or wherever.
Everyone has such sucky dads in this show.
Except for Veronica.
Yeah.
Jake Kane is okay, too.
I mean, I like Jake Kane.
Kind of.
He's not bad.
I really wanted to see Logan come face-to-face with either Dick or Cassidy. I think, like, I hope we get that at some point, because I feel like that really needs to get out in the open. Because obviously Cassidy knows what was going on, but whether, you know, he's told Dick or not, I'm not sure, but I assume that he will.
No comment. That's all I can really say about anything. Either way, can't do it.
What happened to their mom? Have we found out yet? Is that a secret, or is that just not relevant?
I think we'll find out shortly.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't remember, so yes. We'll find out shortly. I don't know.
I'm assuming she's either dead or a horrible person to leave them with her husband. So. Yeah.
It's a pretty good guess. And then speaking of parents, we get more of Mr. Mars and Mrs. Fennell together and their trip to Chicago, which was so cute. At least I think it's adorable.
I really... At first, it was kind of weird that they were getting together, but the more that they are together, it's just kind of nice. And I like how Veronica and Wallace are kind of over the whole thing now. Like, they still find it weird, obviously, but it's not like they're fighting anymore, which my heart can't take. So I'm really glad that's done with.
Yeah.
They're so cute. I just want them to get married and then yeah, but obviously that's not going to happen because... Obviously, this guy is going to come in and be like Leanne 2.0 and ruin things for them. And then, I don't know. I guess I just feel like they're not going to get married because then Veronica and Wallace would be siblings, and I don't feel like they want to do that because I don't know why. It would be awesome, but they probably don't want to do that.
Yeah. While you were watching this episode, because obviously we find out in the next episode who that guy is or a little bit more about him, but were you suspicious of him right away when you started talking to Mrs. Fennell and like calling her something else than what her name actually was? Or did you think it was just a case of, I guess, mistaken identity, which doesn't really happen in the show, but.
Yeah, I was going to say that'd be really implausible. Like, I definitely thought something was up, and it was like, at first I was like, oh my God, is she not who she says she is? Is she evil? You know? And I was like going through all these theories. And I kind of got to the bottom of it fairly quickly. I don't think it was in this episode, but fairly early on in the next episode, I kind of figured it out. But at first, I was definitely looking at Wallace's mom like, okay, something is obviously going on here.
And then the way she just walked so like hurriedly away from him.
And like you could even tell... when they were originally discussing going to Chicago, like she's very, if you go back and watch it, she's very hesitant to go. And so.
Yeah, that's true. I forgot about that. But when I was watching that part, I was like, okay, she obviously doesn't want to go, but why? And now I can see that.
So it makes her look a little, not sketch, but shady. I guess we'll say.
And I mean, we can talk about this more in episode 4, but doesn't he find out that she's like,
he does,
not who she says she is, which makes me so sad. They're gonna break up and I'm mad.
I won't say anything, not a word, no comment. But yes, we will find out more about Mrs. Fennell, and that actually becomes a pretty good plot point, I would say.
Why can't true love just flourish?
Yes. That would be nice, wouldn't it?
Yes.
Because it's a television show.
Why do they always have to make it so difficult?
Like Duncan, who makes everything difficult by being there, by existing.
So were you happy, moving on to our next point, were you happy when he got his face beaten?
Yeah. No, that's so wrong. That's so wrong, but it's true. Oh my gosh. So I know I was telling you guys earlier, but I was so angry. Like, were you angry, Karen, when you found out that, because for a minute there, I was so convinced in episode 1 that she was dating Logan, and I was so like, immeasurably happy. And then you find out that actually her boyfriend is Duncan, and he's boring and weird, and he slept with her when he thought she was his sister. So I don't like him.
I see, the thing is, like, I do like Duncan. I think that he's a nice guy. I think he treats her well, and they are kind of cute together, but I just like Logan more. He's, like, a much more three-dimensional, dynamic character, and, of course, they butt heads and stuff, and you always want to kind of see those types of people, like, get past their differences and get together and that sort of thing, and Duncan's just really chill most of the time, and yeah, it's boring, so I'm not, like, anti-Duncan and Veronica, but I would obviously rather see her with somebody else.
Do we think that Duncan, the character, is boring or his portrayal? I love Teddy Dunn, so I tend to think that the character just isn't as interesting, but he does have, you know, he does have, like, really bad epilepsy, and he, you know, just had his sister die, and he has had all these things happen to him. So do we think that the character isn't interesting, or maybe the portrayal?
I was thinking of that, Gabrielle, because I remember that you had said that they auditioned for each other's parts, like that. Oh my God, Logan, who is played by
Jason Doring.
Yes, was auditioned for Teddy Dunn's part, which is Duncan. And I was thinking, like, if Jason had played Duncan, would I like Duncan better? Probably. I mean, yeah, right? Like, we would be rooting for them.
I don't know, though, because I think that his portrayal is good enough. I have nothing against it. I think, you know, he's fine or whatever, but I think the character, if you really look at the character, his most interesting things really are, like, his epilepsy and the fact that his sister died. Other than that, what else, what kind of depth does he have? There really isn't anything else there. Whereas if you look at Logan, like, he has such a history, and we know so much about him from even, you know, just a single season of the show. And there's just so much more there to give reason to his actions and stuff that I find that way more compelling than Duncan. So I think it's just the character that, you know, if they introduced maybe some more depth to him, he could be more interesting.
That's my whole argument against it, because we don't get anything about Duncan, and I love the writing of the show, but that makes me angry because, as I've said many times, I was a Duncan fan for a very long time. And actually this time around watching the episodes, for the episodes that we talked about in the last podcast, there were actually two deleted scenes that showed more of a fun and interesting side of Duncan, and they were completely taken out of
show.
Yeah. So I feel like the writing for Duncan just wasn't there, and maybe at times when it was, they just decided not to go with it.
That's so sad, because obviously he's a main character. He's really important, you know? Like, if you're going to pick out the main, like, trio, it would be Logan, Duncan, and Veronica. And so to see that, you know, he's not as layered as the other two, that is really frustrating.
Yeah, it's upsetting. So if you guys do have DVDs or access to the DVDs, I would look at those, at the deleted scenes, because they do show a fun side of Duncan. But yeah, it's just frustrating. It's like, why can't you take the time just to develop this character when you've developed all of these other ones so well already?
But are the other ones really that well-developed? Because Logan is really well-developed, but think about Wallace and how much we see of him. We really only see him, like, snarkily conning with Veronica and, like, Weevil when he's just, like, getting her out of a jam. But we feel like we know them so much better than we know Duncan.
Yeah.
We don't even know their we don't even know Weevil's family, except he has a grandma. We know everything about Duncan, basically.
I think that's kind of the point, though, because we do know everything about Duncan, and yet there isn't that much there. Whereas we don't know a whole lot about the other characters and we're kind of okay with that. I feel like that part's the writing that, you know, we kind of know all of Duncan's story and yet we still don't really care all that much about him.
Which is sad.
Yeah.
I mean, I want to like him. I really want to like him, but he's just, I think that he just needs more to him and it would be a little bit easier to kind of like have an even playing field.
Do you want to like him though, Karen? Like truly, do you feel like he can get past the fact that he like, I don't know if date raped is the right word, but he at the very least did sleep with Veronica when he knew that she was his sister. Like, how do you get past that? That's disgusting. That's gross.
See, this is going to sound really weird, but it doesn't really bother me that much.
What?
I know. Well, here's the thing, though. First of all, they had been dating. Okay, like, the whole brother-sister thing aside, like, they had been dating. They were both drugged. They probably both didn't really know what they were doing. And I guess from the flashbacks, because it is still a little bit hazy, I'm not totally sure what happened, but they both seemed to want to do something together, so they did. And I mean, I don't know. Like, Duncan
But then he left her there.
No, that, I know. I know. It is terrible. I'm not saying that it's all right or anything, but I just feel like he loved her so much that, you know, I don't know. I'm not saying it's okay. I'm just saying that I don't have a huge problem with it. Like, that's not always glaring me in the face when I look at him. It's okay. You can shun me now.
I won't shun you.
Thank you.
I understand. All right, so let's get off this little bit of a heated topic and go on to another one that I know is a little heated, especially I know Ariana hates her. So let's talk about Jackie.
Oh,
and
my
Veronica's,
God.
Veronica's hatred of Jackie, your hatred of Jackie, or
everyone
like
hates
Jackie.
Jackie.
I don't know. Does anybody like Jackie? I'm sorry.
No.
Okay.
You go first.
He's a horrid, horrid human being.
Yes. You go first, and I'll probably back up everything you have to say about her.
Oh my God, I don't know what to say about her, except that she is conceited, and she is selfish, and she, I don't know, she's horrible, and, like, dull as well. So, I don't know, I hate her. That's it.
I really wanted to like her, not at the very beginning, but sort of in the middle there where she was like, oh, you know, maybe I should reconsider how I feel about nice guys. And I was like, yeah, Wallace is, you know, breaking her down by being a nice guy. He could be a jerk, you know, but he's not because that's not the type of person he is. And I was like, oh, this is kind of the reverse of the, you know, the good girl falls for the bad boy and kind of like breaks him down and wins him over. And I was like, okay, this is a cool twist on that. But then come to find out that, you know, she was obviously with another guy. Like, oh, no,
yes.
This is Wallace. You do not do that to Wallace. And
but it didn't seem to bother him.
I know. I think he's just really naive. I think he wants to like her and wants her to like him so much that he's willing to kind of look past that and make excuses. And I don't think he should because I don't trust her at all. And it's really sad.
Well, first of all, I don't understand why he didn't stay with Kyla Pratt because she's awesome. But moving from that, I don't know. Part of me feels like he's drawn to her because she in some ways reminds him of Veronica. Like he kind of likes that, like the edgy kind of bitch. But
but Veronica's way better.
Yes. And she's not like mean to people like Jackie is.
She can be, though. I mean, Veronica's not
she
a saint,
be,
and I think that's why we love her.
But Jackie is just so rude to everybody. I don't know what else there's to say. I hate her.
Yeah. I hope she gets everything that's coming to her.
Why do you think Veronica hates Jackie? Just because she's a bitch, or because she's jealous?
I think it could be just because she's a bitch, but also because she's playing with her best friend. Like, I feel like Veronica doesn't want to lose friends, and if she has to lose a friend, or she's scared of losing a friend over this bitch, you know, I don't know. That's how I kind of see it.
Yeah, I mean, I think she is a little jealous because for a very long time she's kind of had Wallace all to herself. But I also think, like, if it was a nice girl, I don't think she would have a problem with it. You know what I mean? I think it is her attitude and the fact that she's basically everything Veronica has hated about, you know, the rich people in her school for so long. And she's kind of seen other sides to, you know, Duncan and Logan. But this girl doesn't seem to have another side. And she just really doesn't want Wallace to get hurt.
Also, the fact that she doesn't like Pride and Prejudice makes me not like her personally. I know that's really biased, but...
Do you not like Pride and Prejudice, Danielle?
I
have to explain yourself.
Oh, gosh.
If it makes you feel any better, I've never read it.
I can see where Jackie is coming from. I can, as an English major, I can appreciate the writing and the care that it took for the characters and like how the different social dynamics work and everything, but it is not my cup of tea for the most part. I don't hate it like Jackie does, but it's not something that I will pick up just because, even the movie. So I could understand her, but then I also hated her because she hated a piece of American literature, or English literature. I'm sorry, English. So, I don't know. Yeah, not a huge fan. Sorry.
Oh, I can't believe it. Well, I don't know if I can continue.
While I was in England this summer, I went to go visit Pemberley.
Did you?
Yes, I did. It was pretty fun.
I would do that. That stuff would be fun. Like, I want to go to Bath, and I want to go to all those places, but... I know. Jane Austen is not my homegirl. We can hang out sometimes, but, you know, I don't know.
She's a casual acquaintance, who get along with.
Yes, that's exactly how I would describe it. But, so yeah. I feel like Jackie doesn't need that much more attention because that's all she wants. So we can move on.
Yes, please do.
All right. So let's move on to Curly Moran. And what is going on there? He's, for refresher, he's the guy who washed up on shore with Veronica's name on his hand. And we also find out later that Aaron Eccles and Curly knew each other from Aaron's first major movie, major motion picture that he was in that kind of launched him into stardom. So
how did they know each other again? Did he like make the car or something?
He was a stuntman.
He was a stuntman for, like, this really crazy thing with a semi, I think it was.
He was a stuntman?
Yeah.
He was
a stuntman for this movie called The Long Haul, which had a similar stunt to the bus, I think.
Oh, my God. Then he totally rigged the bus. He knows how to do that stuff. Okay.
So... are we meant to assume that... okay, wait. Aaron Eccles is in jail right now, right?
Correct.
Okay, so are we meant to assume that he, like, called in a favor to this guy and that this guy rigged the bus to kill Veronica because Veronica put Aaron behind bars? Like, regardless of whether that's what's going on or not, is that sort of, like, the path our minds are supposed to be taking right now?
That's definitely the path that Veronica's mind is taking right now. I think that's the path that we're kind of being shown. Like, this is definitely a possibility or a probability as of right now.
Okay. I didn't actually put any of that together till right now, because I kind of thought that Aaron had died. I don't know why, but, like, I kind of forgot he kind of still existed out there somewhere.
Oh, that's right. He does still exist, Karen.
Yeah.
Which means he could, like, still be after Veronica.
Exactly.
Yeah, so the information comes out in kind of a convoluted, a little confusing kind of way. It takes me a while every time I watch it to kind of like get it straight. But yes, he is still alive. Veronica thinks that the bus crash is her fault. And like this Curly Moran kind of, as of right now, proves it for her. So she doesn't have any hard evidence, but this is what she feels is happening.
And we don't know why he had Veronica Mars on her hand, on his hand.
No.
Okay. No.
Okay, then I'm going to make an episode 3 prediction, which means it's going to be totally wrong. But okay, so Aaron Eccles is in jail and he's like got his minions like pulling strings, and Curly's one of them. And he's so angry at Veronica that he like had Curly rig the bus to kill her. So that's what happened.
I have taken it down. Note, everyone, episode 3.
Man, in a weird way, Meg saved her life. That's like...
Yeah, because she was mad at her.
Right. That's so crazy.
Well, Lily saved her life with her running. Her little...
And Weevil.
Don't you remember her ghost, Lily? And Weevil!
Oh, yeah.
This makes me so sad, like, possibly more than anything, that Weevil and Veronica are, like, on the outs. This is breaking my heart.
I have so much to say about this once we get to it. I think it's more in, like, the next episode. But, yes, I'm totally there with you.
All right. So then we will move on to the next episode. But before we get there, let's quick go over our favorite scenes and favorite lines of this episode. My favorite scene from this one was Veronica and her dad just have, like, a small chat in Veronica's room. And it's Gabrielle's favorite line. But Veronica shows her dad her affinity for unicorns, and it's just so adorable, and it makes me laugh every time. So that's my favorite scene. Gabrielle, what's yours?
So my favorite scene is a scene we haven't really discussed. It's when Veronica confronts Logan in his bedroom when he's half-dressed about his affair with Kendall Casablancas after she works on the case for Cassidy. So I just felt so much sexual tension in that scene, and they're both great actors, so it was a joy to watch.
Yes. I thought that was so interesting because her motivations aren't totally clear, like he was asking about. And so I don't know, any confrontation or any time they're together in a room by themselves, I think it's really interesting. So I really like that one too. Ariana, favorite scene?
Definitely Duncan and Logan's hallway fight, because like Veronica, I too was impressed and a little turned on.
Hey, for good reason. He may not be the best person, but Duncan and Logan have pretty hot bods. So just gonna put that out there. And Karen, your favorite scene?
Mine was right after that, actually, when Duncan and Logan finally talk about why they're so mad at each other. And it was just like, you know, I really liked that obviously they were sort of fighting over Veronica, because that is like a big point of tension between them right now. But beyond that, more important than that, was their friendship and the fact that neither one of them felt like they were really there for the other. And I was just like, you know what? I'm really glad that to them, like, that's a bigger deal than fighting over a girl. Because I think that, you know, so many TV shows and stuff, they kind of do the whole love triangle thing. And it's just like, I've been over it for a while. But the fact that they're upset with each other because of their friendship, I think was a really great direction to go in.
That was so sad. Because I could see both of their points. Like, obviously... Logan, I felt really bad for him because he lost his best friend while he's going through this huge murder trial. But then, like, if I was Duncan, I probably wouldn't want to hang out with the guy's son, the son of the guy who killed my sister.
Yeah.
So
it makes it that much harder because you do understand both sides. And so you can't really take a side because you're like, well, they both have a point. So it does make it really difficult.
And then favorite lines. Mine occurs during Veronica's interrogation. And she says, "Ah, yes, I remember that summer. He was a roadie for Whitesnake. I was singing backup for Boys to Men. They said it would never work, but..." I don't know. It just... I love it. I don't know why. I just do. Gabrielle, what's your favorite line?
So my favorite line is when Keith comes in and asks Veronica if anything's wrong or what she's working on. And she admits something very important to her life and to her father. She says, "Then I have something to admit. I love unicorns." And then she shows him a picture of a unicorn. It was very cute and typical Veronica and her sassiness.
And her desktop is like full of unicorns.
Yes.
It's adorable.
Although I was like, really? You know, you just sabotaged this perfectly good moment you could have had with your father to tell him everything that's going on. And, like, I get why she didn't, but at the same time, I'm like, come on. You can confide in him. It's okay.
Yeah. I know. Ariana, what was your favorite line? Sorry.
My favorite was when Logan is telling Duncan, actually, I disagree with Nurse Ratched. I think Veronica would be quite impressed. Probably a little turned on, too. And
with so that's Fritz's favorite scene.
Yes, with an honorable mention to Logan's infamous, didn't plug her right the first time, huh?
So great.
Oh, gosh. Karen, what was your favorite line?
Mine started off with Wallace when he says, "Hey, I like her, okay, retract claws." And Veronica goes, "Claws? What claws?" And I just love it because Veronica is getting, like, super defensive and she doesn't really want to hang out with this girl. And I think it's not just because she was rude to her before, but because she's super protective of Wallace. And I just love seeing their relationship like that.
It's so cute. I love it, too. I really do. So let's move into episode 4, Green-Eyed Monster, and I'll give you a quick synopsis so we can kind of remember what happened. In this episode, Laura Bell Bundy is a paranoid fiancé who hires Veronica to find the dirt on her man. As it turns out, he's actually a great guy and could probably do a lot better than his selfish fiancé. Speaking of great guys, Wallace still insists on hanging out with Jackie, which is unfortunate considering she's a horrid human being. And Veronica discovers that Duncan visits Meg in the hospital every day, much to the anger of Meg's parents. Later that night, Meg's sister Jackie shows up at Duncan's to ask for help in wiping Meg's computer before her parents can get a hold of it. Finally, Veronica pointedly asks Weevil about his missing earring and gets some juicy information about how the Fitzpatricks may have been involved in the bus crash. And Keith finds out Mrs. Fennell's stalker is actually Nathan, a Chicago police officer who at the end of the episode introduces himself to Wallace as Wallace's dad.
Should we explain real quick for the viewers who the Fitzpatricks are? Because they were just introduced in this episode.
Yeah, you want to take that?
Sure. So they're kind of like the rivals to the PCHers, except they're not high school students. And they own a bar that Weevil mentions called the River Styx. And Weevil also accuses them of dealing and using meth. So there's a scary bunch of people, and they're all related. So it's a family business.
Okay.
Oh, my gosh. They sound way scarier.
It's like a mob or a mafia, sort of, but they're Irish.
Yeah, and so Weevil just gives us the lowdown in this episode.
But they named their bar after the River Styx. I kind of like them.
Yeah.
Like, that's kind of awesome.
It is. It's a cool name. I like it a lot. But yes, so that's the Fitzpatricks. They're not going anywhere. We will be dealing with them a little bit coming up. That's not a spoiler, I promise.
They sound so scary. Like Weevil and his gang, they're like beach gangsters, but the Fitzpatricks, they sound like real gangsters.
Yeah, kind of. They're closer to what we normally would think of, I think, as gangsters, because they have more of like a mob sort of mentality, but also like older. Italian mafia. Yeah. Yeah, it's like older guys, and they're on meth, so that can never be good.
Jeez.
So jumping into our discussion points here. Why do you think Keith is so determined that Veronica should not work as a PI anymore? Like, were you kind of on his side, or?
I think he feels guilty about turning Veronica into someone older than she should be because she's so jaded. And I think he sees that, you know, she won't let anything go and she really doesn't trust anyone. So I think he kind of takes the blame on and thinks that, you know, her being a private detective's assistant maybe led to that.
Yeah, I would completely agree with that. Although I think that's kind of silly because I think it's in Veronica's blood and she's never going to be be able to get away from that. And she is really good at what she does. And I think that, you know, like we see, he could really use the help. So
yeah,
I think he's just kidding himself if he really thinks that by, you know, sending her off to Jabba the Hutt, which is another awesome name, by the way, which I totally get now that I've seen Star Wars.
Yeah.
I think that he's just kidding himself because she's never going to be able to let it go, even if, you know, even if she tries, because we see that in this episode where she's like, well, I'm not working anymore, but hey, you're going to give me $1,000. Okay. Or, well, yeah.
I think also could do, have to do with Alicia because, you know, they fought last season over Veronica being so inquisitive and like thinking she was an adult. So maybe his decision to make her get a normal job was due to her as well.
Oh, good point.
Jabba the Hutt is so like bizarre to me because I feel I have such like strong feelings for this that are completely irrational, but like I hate Jabba the Hutt the way that I hate Duncan because I feel like it's keeping Veronica away from her true love, which is PI work. So I hate it.
Oh. That no, that actually does kind of make sense.
All right, it's not completely irrational. but no, I can understand it. All right, we already discussed Jackie. I don't think we need to discuss Jackie anymore. So let's move on to why do you think Duncan is visiting Meg every day? You think it's because he was good friends with her, survivor's remorse or survivor's guilt? I forgot what that's phrased, but any theories or thoughts?
Yeah, I think I don't think it's weird. I think that he feels guilty, and obviously he was very close to her, and he feels terrible about the fact that she's in there, and even though that they're not together anymore, like, you'd have to be a pretty terrible person to not feel very strongly about your ex-girlfriend being in the hospital, and you don't know if she's necessarily going to make it or not. And so I think that he should have told Veronica about it, but I can also see why he didn't, because he didn't want her to overreact or be jealous or to assume things. But I think it's completely normal for him to want to go visit her.
I'm sorry if you guys already addressed this last episode, but why do you think that Meg was so angry at Veronica, but not really at Duncan? That just seems so bizarre to me. Did you guys talk about that?
We talked about why we thought Meg was angry at Veronica with the whole girl code aspect. Mm-hmm. But I don't think we talked about why she wasn't angry at Duncan because we didn't really see her interact with Duncan post-breakup, did we?
I think Veronica talks a little bit in this episode when she's saying how guilty she feels that like Meg would have gone in the limo if it had just been Duncan, but because Veronica was there, she didn't. Like that she was more angry at Veronica, which seemed just really weird to me. But
I don't know if she was more angry at Veronica, but maybe it was just more awkward when the two of them are obviously a couple in the limo versus Duncan can just ignore because it's not like he's going to say anything anyway.
Mm. Or it could be like she was friends with Veronica longer, so they might have a better, possibly deeper relationship than Meg maybe had with Duncan at that point.
Like so she's possibly over Duncan and just doesn't even care, but is still hurt by the fact that Veronica did this to her.
Correct.
Don't know. I kind of think maybe it's the opposite, that she still has feelings for Duncan and, you know, as angry as she wants to be with him, maybe she can't be that way. But Veronica, she feels like really crossed her. So maybe that's why she's taking it more out on her than Duncan.
Or maybe she feels like it's not even Duncan's fault that he really liked her until Veronica started being like a sexy vixen to him.
Yeah, because she said she keeps bringing up how much Veronica kind of like doesn't quite do things by the book, you know, and how like she might want to get revenge on Meg and like do all these sneaky things. And so I think that she might see it as an intentional thing rather than Duncan is sort of just the victim. Which I don't agree with, but I can see how Meg would think that.
Yeah, it could be rational to her to think that way. And that kind of brings us into, or at least Duncan visiting, why Meg's parents are so angry at Duncan and Veronica. Do we think it's just because their daughter was on the bus and they weren't? So they're alive and she's not?
Because they're stupid. Like, yeah, I mean, I get being upset and everything, but they knew Meg really well. And they have the right to visit her and feel guilty and want to see her and make sure she's okay, too. They're just being selfish and idiotic.
Well, I mean,
I don't really understand. I wonder if something else is going on, because I just don't. I don't get why her parents would react that way.
Yeah, I mean, there could be. And also we have to take into account that her parents are kind of crazy in comparison.
True. Like, everybody's parents are crazy.
Yes.
Like, Meg is pretty normal. Meg is a pretty, like, straight-edge person or whatever. And then her parents are so invasive and controlling, like we see with Meg's computer. I even saw a glimpse of that controllingness last season when Meg was being called, like, a slut and all that stuff was happening to her. Like, we heard about things that her parents did and stuff like that, so... I mean, that could also be a factor in it. That just that the parents are crazy.
You brought up the computer. Like, yeah. What is the deal with that computer? Like, what does she have that's so secret? Like, I was like, oh, she has the answers to everything. Because, like, why does her sister want it wiped so bad?
I think she's just protecting her. That it has personal things on there that her parents don't know about. But I can't imagine. I mean, her sister said, like, they would pull the plug on her if they knew what was on this computer.
I know.
And I'm like, that's really intense.
Is, like, she, like, exaggerating? Secretly working as a hooker? Like, I don't know. what is she doing? That is, she's a meth dealer. Like, what is
she's
doing?
She's with Fitzpatrick. She's dealing meth.
I wonder if, like, she has, like, her diary on there or something, and that maybe she talked about how she's, like, slept with Duncan, or, I don't know, you know, something that her parents would, like, obviously freak out about if they knew that maybe she wasn't, you know, the little princess that they think she is.
But remember, she had that big thing in last season where she wouldn't, like, sleep with her boyfriend or even, like, really go very far with him. So I would find it, I mean, maybe she slept with Duncan because he's such a nice guy and he seduces all these nice girls, even though he's a creeper, but.
Stop it.
So why do you think they're mad at Duncan, though? Because they didn't just seem to be mad at Veronica.
I don't know.
Because
that's what I mean.
Crazy.
Maybe there's something else going on.
Could it be just because he dumped her?
Yeah, probably.
Maybe, but why do they care that he dumped her?
Because she was probably hurt by it if she was acting the way she was to Veronica, I'm guessing.
Probably.
Let's move on then from Meg and her computer and talk about one man that we all truly love, and that is Weevil. And discuss kind of what we found out about him or the earring or how he kind of fits in with the Fitzpatricks and Curly Moran. So I guess the first question I have is, what is he doing with Curly if he didn't kill him? Like, how did they find that earring?
She didn't even ask him that, huh? That's bizarre. Then he was like, I didn't kill him. But then she wasn't like, well, then what were you doing with him? Which, you're right, that would be, like, my next question, then why are you hanging out with this guy who has my name written on his hand? Oh, what a weirdo.
Can we just talk for a moment about how nobody in this show confronts each other and, like, talks about things? Because we saw that with Keith, too, with Alicia, and how he, like, went digging instead of actually talking to her about it. I mean, obviously she didn't want to talk to him about it, but I'm sure if he was like, look, you know, obviously something else is going on here, will you tell me about it? I think she would have. And I realize that it's all for the drama of the show and stuff, but it's really frustrating sometimes.
It is. It makes me feel like they don't have very solid relationships.
I was really disappointed with Keith on that because he talks to Veronica about the importance of being honest and the importance of telling him things, and then he doesn't even talk to his girlfriend about what's going on. He just snoops.
Yep, exactly.
Which is not cool.
I think out of everything, that's like the most frustrating thing about the show is that they jump to conclusions. But I mean, without that, you can't. A lot of things wouldn't have happened.
Yeah, true. So, although,
like a necessary evil.
I will say that I'm really happy that Weevil and Veronica are like talking again, because that was really hard when they were giving, you know, each other those like stares, and I was not cool with the way that Weevil was like being mean to her. Not that I don't think that, you know, he has a reason for that, but it was just really hard to watch. So I'm glad that they're starting to get past that again.
Yeah.
He was voicing a lot of things to her, though, that I think that I, in some way, like, I definitely understood. I guess I felt in some ways, like, how she had returned to her. Like, it felt like she, sometimes it feels like she's trying so hard to be that perfect 09er again. Which I know in my heart that she is not like that. That she's a much more three-dimensional good person. But also I feel like a little bit of her really misses the old Veronica and how easy her life was and how perfect her life with Duncan was.
Yeah, I think that's another reason why I don't really like her with Duncan, is because I feel like she really puts on a show for him and for the others and to kind of like fit in with the crowd and stuff. And she doesn't necessarily have to do that with when she's just by herself or even when she's with Logan, because I think they have the type of relationship where they can sort of just really be themselves and it's okay. And yeah. I much prefer like that more like raw honesty than what she has with Duncan, which feels like very fragile to me.
Yeah, it doesn't feel real to me. Like,
it
feels like she's trying so hard to be what he imagines her to be.
I agree. I think the moment that solidified that thought for me was when she like says some line about how she's going off to do something for Julie, you know, but she doesn't tell him who it's for, about spying on the boyfriend. And Duncan's face is just one of like, what is going on? Whereas, you know, Logan would have had a snappy comeback and say, hey, can I come along, and get that she was going on a case. So I just don't think that he gets that she's more jaded than she was.
And going back to kind of her beef, not her beef with Weevil, but like the tension between them. I think that when Weevil jumped Logan at the end of this first season and like everything that happened from there, you get all of these the classes are clashing. And so because Veronica is starting to identify more with the 09ers, I think Weevil serves as sort of like a wake up call for her, or almost like a reminder of who she was or who she wants to be and not who she's kind of falling back to, which is her 09er persona and Duncan.
Yes.
So I kind of like that Weevil's this sort of reminder or this thing that keeps her grounded almost.
Yes.
I don't know that she's
tension.
I mean, I kind of just take issue with the fact, like you said, she's falling back to her 09er persona, because we haven't seen her hang out with any 09ers besides Duncan.
Right.
And she doesn't eat lunch with him. She still eats lunch with Wallace and still has a job and another job on top of that. So, I mean, I just think she's trying to return to the old Veronica versus being like an 09er again.
But the thing is that a lot of the 09ers, like a lot of those girls are sort of like saying hi to her now and talking to her like, oh, are you going to this party or whatever? And she's not necessarily like waving them off. And I think she's trying to like present a good face to kind of stay in with them, even though she hates them. And I feel like season one Veronica wouldn't have done that, and I'm kind of not okay with her doing that.
And I also think that like, for Weevil, it makes a lot of sense. Like, she is definitely, she's completely an O-Niner now, because, like, in his mind, like, while we know, well, I guess we don't know, but in my heart, I know that Logan did not kill Chardo. Like, but we're just going off of that based on, because we know and love Logan. But, like, Weevil is, like, all the evidence, he was totally there and had a knife, and he was dead next to him. Like, he totally did it. And so why are you defending him? And he just got off because he has more money and we're poor, so nobody listens to us. So,
yeah.
Yeah, Chardo was his cousin. Felix, actually, I think was the one that died.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
Just FYI, so fans don't get confused.
Yeah. So that I'm going to get lots of angry emails. Sorry, fine. Felix died.
Loads. So why do we think that Weevil is in the middle of this and receiving the anonymous tip? Because he received the anonymous tip. What was it about? I can't remember. I know it was important.
Okay. The anonymous tip was that the Fitzpatricks paid Curly to do something to the bus.
Yeah. So why? That's exactly right. Sorry. I had a brain like white for a second there. But why do we think that Weevil is in the middle of it, like receiving this anonymous tip?
Well, he is the leader of the rival gang, so either somebody's like honestly looking out for them maybe and thinking like he can do something about it, or maybe somebody's playing both groups and trying to get them to go against each other or get in each other's way. Possibly.
Yeah. I don't have any right answers about this because this plot point actually kind of confuses me every time. So I'm still trying to work through it as much as you guys are too.
Oh, and then it gets even more confusing because like we don't know who called Weevil. It was from Logan's house, but he had a party and it was broken up. And who was there? Like the PCHers crashed it, but then it was broke and the cops were there. So
I think the cops, I think, have a bigger hand in some of these things because they're like, they've always been a little shady and have never really liked them, but I'm really not trusting the sheriff guy.
Lamb?
Yes, he's not the one with the weird mustache, right?
Yes, he's not the one with the weird mustache.
Okay.
that's Deputy Sachs.
Ugh, don't like him either. Mostly because of his mustache.
His mustache.
I love
him. It's so iconic. Okay. And then, let's see. It looks like, Arianna, you were also confused, as am I, for the most part, by the fact that the Fitzpatricks supposedly killed Felix because he pissed them off, and Curly was hired then by the Fitzpatricks to kill him. Right?
Yes. I think so.
Or, I'm
oh,
sorry.
Actually, I...
Servato.
Servato, because it was the bus crash. Yeah.
So Servato, as far as I can tell, was on the bus. And so...
Oh, so, okay, so this has nothing to do with Felix then. It's about Servato, who was on the bus.
Correct. Servato, okay. I believe Servato was on the bus, and the bus crashed. And so another theory is that the Fitzpatricks were behind it, and they were behind hiring Curly to mess up the bus and make the bus crash to kill Servato because he pissed them off.
Okay, I'm just going to say right now that that did not happen because they're like meth dealers, and if they wanted to kill somebody, it would be way easier than having to kill like 12 kids on a bus.
Yeah.
They would just like stab him in an alley. So.
That is just another thing or another idea possibility that's thrown out there. So.
Well, we're not going to find out till the finale anyway because it's going to be some huge thing like Aaron, where we couldn't see it coming at all.
No comment. So I don't know.
Guys, what if it was Meg and Meg rigged the bus and then because she was so angry at the bus driver because he dated Veronica.
Okay, now that's a proper crack theory.
So many theories.
So that's my theory. It has to be the most unlikely person, so it's Meg.
All right. I will take that down for episode 4. Because we took one for episode 3, and now this is your theory on episode 4.
Yes.
So I'm not sure if it... I don't know. Who do you think placed the anonymous call? Or does that matter at this point? Because, I mean, it was kind of... It was glazed over a little bit. Like, she didn't completely jump
into it. I have another idea. Sorry.
Okay. No, go ahead.
Okay. It seems really bizarre that they would place the call to Weevil. Because what does he have to do with anything? Except, what if it's somebody who knows that Weevil is, like, besties with Veronica and would talk to Veronica? And because Veronica had her name written, that, like, you know, that they were supposed to kill Veronica, so then they would know that, like, they would suspect that Veronica, when she found out the name was written, she would investigate. So they're trying to, like, throw him off the tracks. Be like, oh, it's the Fitzpatricks. Does that make sense? Or is that too bizarre?
This whole thing is really confusing, so I kind of don't know either way. But I kept trying to think, like, who would have access to Logan's house? And, I mean, I guess, like, anybody could probably break in. And not that I really think that this is the truth, but I'm like, what about his sister? Like, she hasn't been around yet, and not that I really think that she's involved with all of this, but I don't know. I just think she's kind of shady, too, so.
I mean, she's crazy, just like her dad, so.
Yep.
Yeah, could be. But yeah, I mean, you're not the only one to be confused by this plot, because every time I watch it, I get a little confused, even though I've seen it before, so. It's not as clearly written as some of the other episodes or plot lines have been. So it takes a little working to kind of figure out what they're trying to point you at. And so I guess my last question, this is mostly at Karen and Ariana, but how are you liking the stories of the week and the overall mysteries that happen this season? And like the different tone that is going on rather than season one.
The stories of the week this season, I feel like are like a lot more boring than last season. They just seem so irrelevant to what's going on. But I get like the mystery is really interesting, even though it's kind of really confusing, like more confusing than, okay, Lily died. Who did it? This has got like the bus crash and who was on the bus and then Felix or whoever.
Yeah, Felix and, was the one who got stabbed.
Yeah, I mean, it's really interesting. It's not as compact and sleep put together, I think, as Lily's was. But it's okay. It's all right.
Yeah, I mean, the story of the week thing has never really, like, bothered me. I know, like, sometimes you guys are like, oh, it's so irrelevant and stuff like that. And I always kind of find them interesting. I think the overall mystery, I was really worried that nothing was going to be able to stack up to Lily's murder. And not that I think that this is anywhere near close to that, but at the same time, they're really setting it up to sort of kind of be a big deal, especially with this tragic bus crash. And so I'm kind of impressed that they've already kind of sucked me in for season two.
The thing that mostly bothers me about the bus crash is, like, I have no way to feel invested in it. Like, I was invested in the first episode when I thought Meg was dead. And then I turned on the second episode and she wasn't dead. And I was like, oh. And I mean, it's sad the other kids died, but we never even, like, met them or knew their names. Like, how hard would it have been to do, like, a 5-minute segment where they... Or, like, a 2-minute segment where somebody says something funny or says, like, my little sister, like, I'm going to go see her play tonight. Like, just to give us a fuller picture.
Yeah.
Or, like, all the people we met in season one that had one-offs that we're never going to see again, just put them on the bus so we know somebody's name and can care the way we care about Lily.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, we will get more information about the people on the bus and sort of get invested that way. But we don't, it's really sad that we don't get to know them beforehand, too. Or, you know.
Yeah.
One thing that we forgot to talk about that Karen reminded me of, so thank you.
You're welcome.
Is Nathan, Wallace's dad, shows up at the end of this episode.
Oh, yeah.
Nathan shows up at the end of this episode and drops the bomb that he's Wallace's dad.
Okay. I just have to say, I try not to get, like, too overly girly on this podcast, but Wallace Fennell has some serious biceps, guys.
Oh, my God. He's so attractive.
Yes, he is. I just have to say that first.
And have you seen him recently, Karen? Like,
no.
He's cleaned up really well in his old age. He was attractive, like, when he was young, but
I don't know.
He's like 30 now. He's, like, really attractive.
No, he's definitely, definitely good looking. Why I, when they gave out donuts.
Did anyone else kind of, like, figure out that this guy was going to be Wallace's dad, like, near the beginning of the episode? Because I was like, all right, he's either, like, they're in, like, the witness protection program, or, like, this guy is after his kids. Because he's like, she took something that was mine. And I'm like, the kids? That was the only thing that I could really think about. So I guess, like, it wasn't a huge shock to me, but it was still, like, way to cut us off at the end of the episode, you know? They always do that.
Yeah. I mean, as far as is he telling the truth, I certainly hope he's telling the truth, because I'm tired of all these fake-outs with parents. Like, are they not, or are they? I just want it to be true one time.
Yeah.
I'm ready for the drama.
You want that kind of drama.
Yeah, like the Maury style. I am your father.
Yes. So what do you think, I guess, it's a huge bomb that Wallace's dad is showing up. What do we think of Wallace's dad as a character, or like as a person? Do we have any, I guess, perceptions of him so far?
I think he's better than Leanne in how interesting he is.
True.
Yeah, because he's kind of scary.
Yeah,
it's not just a hot mess like Leanne. But, okay, it's so bizarre because why is he just barely showing up now? Which makes me – he seemed, like, pretty intent on showing up now. So maybe they went into hiding, but then why did they go into hiding? Like, why is she scared of him? This is weird.
Right.
Yeah, because he lost – they changed their names, as far as I can remember. They moved from Chicago, changed their names, and so he couldn't find them. And so the only lead he had to go on was when he saw her at the bar that one night.
What if she kidnapped him? What if she kidnapped the kid? And that's what Keith is like, uh-oh. Like, what if Wallace is a kid on a milk carton?
Yeah, I don't know.
That could be interesting. That could kind of infuse us with some more drama. I don't really know if that's true, but it could be kind of cool. What's kind of weird is that at least from what I saw at the end of this episode, was that Wallace didn't know anything about this. Like, he didn't know anything about his father. He saw that picture and he's like, yeah, so what? Who are you? So obviously, I mean, I would have imagined that he would have asked about his father, you know, before when he was younger, and Alicia didn't tell him anything or like lied to him or something. So it's going to be really interesting to see, like, from Wallace's point of view, what exactly is going to happen and maybe how that's going to change his relationship with his mom.
Well, he said his dad was dead, right? But then, like, his little brother is so much younger that, like, I wonder if they have this, like, obviously he must not be the little brother's dad, because then he would remember him.
Oh, true.
Yeah, I believe it was a case of where the little brother is the son of the dad that they both knew. And so Wallace is only a half sibling with the little brother, if that makes sense.
Oh.
According to Nathan.
Yes.
So whether or not we should trust Nathan is up for grabs.
Yeah.
That's true. He could just be, like, obsessed with her.
Yeah.
Be like, you're my son. And she could be like, no.
Yeah, exactly like that, too. No. But, yeah. So that was the major cliffhanger of this set of episodes, which is actually a pretty good one, I'd have to say. That is all that we needed to cover for that episode. Thanks again, Karen, for reminding me about that. So let's move into our favorite scenes to kind of wrap up everything. My favorite scene was when Veronica was tailing the boyfriend from the mystery of the week, and she found him at the rabbi's house, and so did the fiance then. And Veronica completely tackles the fiance, Julie, even though she's like this tiny little person.
Yes.
It's wonderful.
That was so funny. I mean, she took a flying leap at her. It was the best.
She took her down.
Did anyone else think that Veronica was not a great PI this episode? Just that she kept on calling Julie before she knew the whole story?
Yeah, I know. I was like, that's weird.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's... Julie bugged me. I knew why she had to be there to kind of remind Veronica about herself, but
She was kind of funny though. I think that's mostly due to Laura Bell Bundy being hilarious, but
yeah. But no, so that was my favorite scene. Gabrielle, what was yours?
Mine was like 2 seconds, but it's still a scene. It's just when we meet Wallace's brother and he says, "Are you hitting that?"
Oh my
He's
god.
So cute.
He is.
So good.
That kind of made my week.
Yes. Definitely. Ariana?
My favorite part is when she like goes and pretends to be like, what was she selling? Like Girl Scout cookies or something bizarre?
Oh no, she's a sorority girl.
Oh, yeah. Sorority girl. And she's like totally hitting on that guy in the house. It was so funny because she was just absolutely absurd.
It's really hard for me to watch her do that because, like, that's so not her personality. And yet she is so good at it, at just, like, flipping that switch and not being embarrassed. And she just, I mean, when she goes for it, she goes 110%. And I'm just like, wow.
She just has no shame about it. It's so funny.
It's so good. And Karen.
Mine was when Veronica and Weevil finally started talking to each other again, because it was just a relief to my heart, and I'm so glad, because they can't be fighting. I can't handle that.
Yeah. So I'm really happy too. I like them better when they like each other.
Yes.
So favorite lines. Mine has to do actually with Veronica and Weevil. Veronica says to Weevil, "What's with the hoops? If I rub your head, do I get free wishes?" And obviously that was when she was referring to his new earrings, because he lost one, mysteriously. But so yeah, that was my favorite line. Gabrielle?
So my favorite line has to do with Logan Eccles. And if you're on Tumblr and you have watched the series before, you've seen a bajillion gifs of this line.
Yes.
So Logan, when Veronica confronts him about why one of his numbers was used to call Weevil and, you know, give him the anonymous tip, Logan says, "My day is complete. Veronica Mars has accused me of evil." And he, like, twirls his imaginary mustache and is very Logan bitter-like, which I love.
It's amazing.
Wonderful. It's so wonderful.
I feel so bad for him. He's hurting so much, you guys.
I know.
Logan. Ariana?
My computer mysteriously turned off. So can you read mine, please?
Sure. That's weird. Ariana's favorite line is, "Oh, sorry. Should I hide in the bedroom like a hooker?" Perfect. And that was Veronica to Duncan when Meg's sister showed up, I believe.
Yeah, another reason to not like Duncan. He treats her like a hooker. He's ashamed of her.
And Karen.
It is when Veronica is talking to her dad and she says, "I do give good phone."
Sounds so dirty.
It does, but it's so funny.
Yes, it is. All right. So before we let everybody go, we're just going to go through one thing of listener feedback. We got a tweet from Kate7950, and she says, I randomly found your podcast this weekend and just binge listened to every episode. I can't wait to start season two. So thank you, Kate.
That's way cool.
Yeah. I know. That's so intense. I love her dedication.
It's like not only, I mean, if she's rewatching, it's like not only is she binge listening to our episodes, but she's like binge watching the series, which is also awesome because it's so much fun.
Yeah, that's the way to do it.
Yeah. So if you want to be like Kate and you want to get in touch with us, we would love to talk to you. You can email us at rewatchable.podcast@gmail.com. You can tweet us at re_watchable. You can comment like crazy on this post on Hypeable. We will be sure to see it there and comment right back. And if you like us, please leave us an iTunes review so that other people can find us and they can just join in on the fun. It'd be great for everybody.
Yes, and if you leave us an iTunes review, we will be sure to give you good phone.
Yes, we will be sure to give you good phone.
Oh, gosh.
I think you just made that line sound even dirtier, which I didn't think was possible.
So, good job. So, yes. Oh, and really quickly for everybody, I mean, this will be kind of old news by the time this podcast comes out, but Kristen Bell and Dax Shepard just got married, for real, and so we're super excited.
Yay.
For
them.
I just wanted to bring that up because I was so happy when I saw that.
Also, in exciting news, it was Danielle's birthday this week, so you should tweet her lots of wonderful things.
Aww.
Oh, birthdays. Nobody likes you when you're 23, though, according to Blink-182.
Oh, that's a bummer.
Horrible.
I like that song, so it's okay. But yes, I haven't said this enough, but thank you all so much for listening. We really appreciate it. And we will be back next week with an all new podcast for you. So I'm Danielle.
I'm Gabrielle.
I'm Mariana.
And I'm Karen.
And we will see you later. Goodbye, everybody.
Bye.